I appreciate, like I said, what God has done for us and is going to do for us. And I appreciate the songs, especially that they sang. Sometimes we feel like God gives us something or other, and we just like to know that it's the right thing to say and do. And God sends it in the manners to help us to get to where we might need to be within ourselves. I'm talking about myself individually to start with. As Mike led that song Farther Along, and it talks about seeing others, that things just seems to be falling into place. It just seems like nothing happens, and you know the lifestyles or where they live and just ain't right, and it begins to put a wonder in your mind about, you know, why am I having to go through a few things? Then Dylan, he come on and they sang "The Help's on the Way." And sometimes we wonder why I got to stay here so long in the situation or in my life. And it seems like you just get down and it just seems like you just don't find a way out. But then God sends something other on by to let you know that He was thinking about you the whole time. If I'm not mistaken, though, Daniel said, he told the Lord there at one time, he said, I've been praying to you for like 21 days. And I believe he started to get a little bit weary, just to be honest with you. But then God spoke and said, but I heard you the first time. I heard you the first time. Then Hillary come on and sang that, I know that God's good. When He sends that help, you know that He's been good to us. Now, I'm going to read this, and if you want to read a verse out of St. John chapter 14, then I'm going to read a few verses out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And just tell you what is on my heart. And I'll be honest with you, I've prayed about it all week. And I pray for myself probably more than I have anything else. And what I just kept praying for was, Lord, I just want a soft heart. That's what I want. Because I ain't got this thing figured out. And there ain't no need of me acting like I do, because I don't. But I don't want to be in a position that I ain't got a compassionate feel. Because when it comes down to it, I ain't the only one going through stuff. We feel like sometimes that nobody else knows and nobody else is going through. But I'm going to tell you, when it really comes right down to it, Rick, we're all in the same boat. I might not get in your conversation much, and I might not know what's going on, but I can guarantee you just within a matter of minutes, if we got to talking about, we'll find out that we're not really that much different in what we feel in our hearts. Sometimes it's trouble, sometimes it's sorrow, sometimes it's a wonder if I'm even going to make it or not. But then if we got to talk long enough and we figure out that we've got the same God, we've got the same Lord, and I'm glad to be in that boat. But the first scripture we're going to read, chapter 14, in St. John. Now this is coming, you see, because I've read this and I've read it But this scripture has a place and a time and a reason behind it. It's not just for me and now. Jesus was instructing His disciples because something was fixing to happen. Could you imagine walking actually literally beside Jesus for 3.5 years and seeing the miracles, seeing the things working, knowing who He is? And then all of a sudden He starts describing about, I'm fixing to go away. And them not having a true comprehension because they didn't have an indwelling spirit is what we've got now as far as a directional way to go. But I can see them just as He starts telling them, because this is what He says to them. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. You see, they was coming a time not short hereafter that Tony, he wasn't going to be with them. And could you imagine what you've seen your 3.5 years walking beside Him, of feeling the Spirit, knowing that it's there. Then all of a sudden you see Him carried away, beaten, and hanging on a cross. And then you're thinking, it had to leave at that moment in time. What am I going to do now? You see, for this space of time that He was on the cross to the time that He got risen, the disciples was totally without. But He was forewarning them and letting them hear, let not your hearts be troubled. You see, they was in a place that they didn't have Jesus with them no more. Everything I could just imagine on the inside was just ripped away. And they was in a place in their own home, hid away, because I'm sure they were scared now. If they took Jesus away, and they know we followed them. But He told them, let not your heart be troubled. You see, because the story didn't end there. He started talking to them, and He explained to them all this. But we know what happened on the third day. We know that Mary Magdalene went to the tomb, and she found the tomb that was empty. And then she ran on and found Peter and John knocking at the door. And I could just imagine her saying, it ain't over with. I know we've been in despair, but He ain't there now. He's risen. It ain't over. Let not your heart be troubled. Chapter 4 of Corinthians. Paul speaking to the Corinthians, writing to them, because they was getting into a place too where they was getting some discouragement and some things are happening. Some people, just like the government, just like what we have, people trying to come in and out. But Paul sends them some encouragement also. He says in chapter 4, verse 7, it reads, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It says, we are troubled on every side, yet not in distress. That's where that help comes on the way. He hears us, Rick. He hears us. And it ain't just stress here. It's that stress in our everyday life. Every time we wake up in the morning, I guarantee you there's going to be something that we are going to face that ain't going to agree with us, and that ain't going to be seem like it's even going to help us. But I believe somewhere through the day, Brother Dylan, that God's going to send the help. So we don't get in this distress to where we just throw up our hands and quit. It says, we are perplexed, but not in despair. Despair is when you get to a place where you finally just says there ain't no more hope. But I'm going to tell you this. upon the authority of God's Word, that there was hope from the beginning. There was hope back then, and there's hope now. And hope will always exist because God is the hope that we have. We might be perplexed. We might be to a place where we really don't know. But the hope is still there. The Bible says we're persecuted, but not forsaken. Sometimes you feel like you're just all by yourself. Lord, I don't know if you, I'm quite sure we've all been there. That I don't even feel like even the Lord's been there sometimes. But yet, just for that moment in time, we come to ourselves just like the prodigal son did. We'll realize that we ain't by ourselves. He said, I'll never forsake you and I'll never leave you. I'll stick closer than a brother. That's pretty close. Because there's still things that my brother can't do. There's things that my wife can't do for me. But there's things that he can. It says we're cast down, but we're not distressed or destroyed. It ain't finished. It ain't finished. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe that therefore speak, knowing that we are raised up, the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes. And that the abundant grace might be through the thanksgiving and might be redound in the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish and our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And I was thinking about the trouble that it says that we face, but we're not distressed. Now this is what he says. In one of the scriptures, it says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is a common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above all that you are able, but will with temptation also make a way of escape, that you may bear it. You see, people shorten that up and they say, he says he won't put on more than you can bear. He don't say that. But what he's saying is, I've got a way that you can get out of this. Something other coming up, I'm going to tell you this. In my heart, there's an indwelling spirit. And that indwelling spirit tells me each and every time that I'm fixing to do something other, if I'm right or if I'm wrong. Now, I'll be honest with you, I ain't got the right to determine what's right and wrong. This tells me what's right or wrong. I've got the right if I want to listen to the right or listen to the wrong. And I'm glad I got that indwelling spirit that it says if you listen to this wrong, that there's going to be some trouble that's going to come. But he's also made me a way. And you say, well, how's that way? Through Jesus. I've got access. I've got access to Jesus. That's why we don't have to be distressed. That's why we don't have to be in despair. That's why we don't have to be forsaken or destroyed. Because we've got access to Jesus, and that's our way out. But even Wednesday night, the prior service, which was thoroughly enjoyed, but somebody made a statement in it that said, there comes a certain time at a moment in time that I just can't pray in my life. Because I have it so heavy on my mind, so heavy in my heart, and that's why that sometimes, and I was thinking about old Peter when he was in prison down there. The Bible says they put him in the fourth quadrant down. In other words, they put him way down there. Locked him up in chains, put guards all around him. Don't you think just a moment in time that he probably felt like, well, this is it. This is it. My hope's gone. But I'm glad that there was a church that was on down the road from there that started praying for Peter, because sometimes my hope gets a little bit less and it gets a little bit low. And I need you. You know what God's going to do sometimes? He's going to speak to your heart and He's going to say, I think you need to pray for Bruce right now. He ain't going to tell you why, because it don't matter why. But that church started praying. Peter's sitting there, and all of a sudden an angel comes sitting down beside him. Unlocked the chains, told him to put his shoes on. Bible says that he got up, started walking, and every door that he came to just opened up on its own accord. That's what hope can do. The church had hope. Bible says that we're not forsaken. Let's think about old John the Baptist down there. The man that came before Jesus and started preaching, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Stood firm, I mean even into the king's faces. Baptized Jesus. Seen him. Then he put in prison. Sitting there by himself, wondering. Now, I just be honest with you, I don't think he was just totally giving up, but there again, there was a wonder. He told his disciples, he said, go ask him. You just go ask him if he's the one or if we should search for another. Disciples went on and they asked him, and he didn't tell them nothing. He just said this. You go back and you tell them that the blind has been able to see. You tell them that the lame has been able to walk. You've been able to tell them that the dead has been raised again. But most of all, you tell them that the gospel is being able to be preached to the poor. You might say it ain't about the bank account that makes you poor and it don't make you rich. But I'm going to tell you this, if you're out there today and you ain't got Christ in your heart, you're a poor man. And the gospel is being preached unto you as long with us to keep us encouraged. He said, you go back and tell him that. Go back and tell him what you saw. That's what the people needs to see. We don't have to walk around and telling them I'm a Christian. We don't have to walk around with our shirts. And that's fine. I ain't got no problem with that. But I'm going to tell you, when you start telling people, you better live up to it, because they're going to expect it. Because I'm going to tell you, we carry the gospel with us. When we speak truly of Jesus and the Spirit tells you to testify to somebody, you are speaking the gospel because you're speaking the words of God. But he said, you just go back and tell him what you saw. And I don't believe it. That John even dreaded no more whenever they pulled the axe out on him. I believe he knowed where he was going. It says, we was cast down but not destroyed. I started thinking about old Stephen. How he got there and preaching the word to him. About a stiff-necked generation. About that cornerstone that they didn't allow. And how it just really, I'll be honest with you, it convicted their heart. You see, people talk about the church these days, and they talk about God, and they talk about, but they say, that offends me. Well, I'm going to tell you, it ain't offending them. It's convicting their heart. And they feel like if I can get rid of that part of it, then the conviction will leave. Well, I'm going to tell you, you just might not understand it, but you really don't want the conviction to leave. Because if that conviction of that soul ever leaves, it's going to be a bad day. Because that conviction is what saved me. Now, that conviction left me that night because I didn't have to be convicted no more in that. But it says, but we're not destroyed. You see, they're thinking, if I can get rid of Stephen, this ain't going to bother me no more. So they took him out, they started stoning him. And the more they stoned him, I'm just going to tell you, the Bible said the harder he preached. And you say, well, how do you know he's not destroyed? Because it said that he looked up into heaven. And he said, I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. And it even made him even come on him even the worst. But the greatest part of it to me is right there, part of it says, and he just fell asleep. He just fell asleep. They might have thought they got rid of him. But you know what happened? There was a young man that was in that crowd. Amen. That wrote more than half of this New Testament. Amen. So I'm going to tell you, they might have taken Stephen's body down, but they did not destroy the message. They didn't destroy the message. We might be perplexed. We might be down. We might be sad. We might be heavy hearted. But Jesus told them, let your hearts not be troubled. He told Joshua, where he said, my servant Moses now is dead. He's dead. But you know what? That didn't leave nobody that Jesus or that God couldn't talk to. You see, he had seen Moses and all that he's went through, the heartaches. See, it wasn't always about the Red Sea parting. It wasn't always about the water coming out. I'm going to tell you what, Moses carried a heavy heart. But he kept a traveling. That's what Joshua was noticing. As heavy as he got, the farther he kept a going. But he said, my servant Moses is dead, but be of good courage. As I was with Moses, I'll be with you. And I just don't think he was just telling Joshua that. Mike, I think he's telling us that. Be of good courage. As I was with Moses, as I was with Joshua, as I was with the disciples, Paul, you can just keep naming them, I'll be with you. Let not your heart be troubled. Yes, it hurts. Yes, we wonder why do we have to keep going on sometimes when it just seems like everything else is going together. I'm going to tell you, that ain't going together on the other side. Because that side is the actual, is what they're working on, is the temporal state. We're supposed to be working on the eternal state. Because there's a world out there, I'll be honest with you, that is not concerned right now where their soul is going. And it's up to me and you. It's up to me and you to pray for them. That one day that the Spirit will speak to them and let them start getting concerned. Because this part's going to come to an end one day. Bruce Owens is going to cease to exist on this earth one day. But I'm glad I've got that treasure in this earthen vessel that lets me know that that part ain't going to end. But Jesus was fixing to come down to the end, and he just told his disciples, let not your hearts be troubled. It ain't over. It ain't over. And as Dylan was singing that song, because I'll be honest with you, I struggled, I guess, but when he started singing that, help's on the way. Let not your heart be troubled. It just kept coming to me. But I appreciate the service today. I appreciate the songs that were sang. And as we depart this building today, my prayer is that let our hearts not be troubled. For as He was with Moses, He'll be with us. We ain't forsaken. We ain't destroyed. We may be down a little bit. But I'm going to tell you, it just makes us have to dig a little bit harder, fight a little bit harder, and just keep us standing. Just don't get discouraged.